Welcome to Lipstick Bitties, a beauty podcast. I'm your host, Atlanta makeup artist and content creator, Rachel Rose Mazza. I created this podcast to have unfiltered conversations about all things beauty. We're chilling with my friends and colleagues from all over the world in all different walks of life. This goes way beyond the glossy facade of social media. Sometimes we don't get to know the personalities behind the people who create with their heart and soul. I'm talking to everyone from pro makeup artists to beauty enthusiasts, from influencers to entrepreneurs, and everyone in between. Lipstick Bitties is a community we're building that is truly interactive with you listeners. So if you're someone who wants to learn some shit, get inspired, and have a good ass time, this podcast is for you. Who are the faces behind the faces? Keep listening to find out. Hello, biddies. Welcome back to season two of the Lipstick Bitties podcast. It has been a minute. Biddies, thank you so much for sticking with me. I know it's been a while, but we are back. We are better than ever. Season two is about to be popping off, guys. I'm so excited for what we have coming up for you. I'm just coming back home from the Makeup Show Chicago. It was incredible to meet some of you there. You all are amazing. You guys are what keep this community and this podcast going. You guys give me a kick in the ass all the time. Anytime I'm doubting myself, I've been going through some crazy shit the past couple months, and you guys have been there for me. So I'm just so excited to finally be back here doing what I love, talking to you and bringing you some of the best amazing guests in the fucking world. I don't think y'all are ready. I keep saying that, but I'm just so excited because I know what you do. I know something you don't is literally like me about all of the interviews that we've done so far for season two. So just as a reminder, if you are new here, welcome. I'm so excited to have you. I know that we've gotten a lot of new friends in the Instagram page. Make sure to follow me at Lipstick Bitties and at Rachel Rose Makeup. Check out the link in bio to follow in the Facebook group. We have a lot of stuff in this community and you don't want to miss out. Make sure if you are loving this podcast, especially right now because it's the first of season one, let's celebrate. Please take a screenshot of you listening to it and tag me. It's the best way to spread the word about this podcast. And of course, rate, review, and subscribe. Send me a screenshot of your review and I will mail you something very special in the mail. Just DM it to me at Lipstick Bitties. As another reminder, the Patreon community is popping off as always. We have monthly meetups. We have bonus episodes. Check that out as well. It is the best way to really get involved in this community. I even stayed with one of my patrons, Brandon, Artistry Like Bam, for this Chicago trip. So who knows? You join the Patreon and then I could be sleeping on your couch 6 months later. So you really want to get to know the HBIC, like join the Patreon, y'all. Okay, biddies. So let's get into it. Who is this guest? Who is this amazing person that's going to be here today to pop off season one? It is none other than Melanie Mills. You can find her at Melanie Mills, M-U-A, and her brand Gleam _ Melanie Mills Hollywood. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know who she is already because she is incredible. She has over 25 years of experience in the industry. She is a two-time Emmy Award-winning celebrity makeup artist. She's ran the Dancing with the Stars makeup department. She is an author. She is an educator. She is a mentor. She is a mom. She's opening up her own pro makeup store and crystal apothecary in Nashville. She does so much stuff in addition to being a brand owner with some of the best glow products and setting spray that is on the market. I'm sure you've heard me rave about her products. The Gleam in Peach Deluxe and Opalescence are my two favorites, as well as her setting spray. But it's something that I use in my kit and it's a pro staple and it went viral on TikTok. And you know what happens when things go viral on TikTok, they go bye-bye. So finally, everything is in stock. Make sure to check the show notes for all the information on her brand. She is also extending a discount code, which is also an affiliate code for you listeners. use the code BIDDIES20 at checkout for 20% off. And I get a small commission, so you're also paying it forward to the HBIC. I always appreciate your support when you're able to shop through my affiliate codes, because it helps, you know, me pay the editors and people that I need to pay to get this podcast running. So Melanie and I talk about so much. We talk about her career, how she started her career, her big influences in her life. She is such a female empowerment, like, icon to me, the way that she talks about growing up and who inspired her in her life, what kind of environment she likes to foster in the film industry. She, you know, she's department head. We talk a little bit about union, because she's worked in TV and film, her experiences there. We talked about how she started her brand, and she's so passionate about her brand. So she talks about some of the products that she has, some of her favorites. And like I said, she's an educator too. So she has online courses, and she's also doing in-person courses in Nashville. So especially Nashville Biddies, if you are in the area, make sure to connect with her, especially now that she's opening up this makeup store in Nashville. It's called The Makeup Altar. I think I mentioned that earlier, but she's going to be offering makeup services, lessons, and master classes, as well as having makeup and pro makeup supplies, crystals, tarot deck, candles, and more. You know, she is very, like, very spiritually connected. She meditates. And honestly, I cannot say how genuine of a person she is. And you know that we only have the best of the best people, people that value community. She has her own makeup community on Facebook, which I was a part of in a live demo. So check out her Facebook group. We love people that actually foster the community that we talk about here. And she was one of the first people that I feel like I really connected with at the makeup show way back when, the very first time I came, because she is always at her booth hyping her products up, and is rare to meet brand owners at their booths. And she is just so sweet, so genuine, so inspiring. I know you all are going to love this episode, and I will, I guess, talk to you guys next week. Hello, Biddies. Welcome back to the Lipstick Biddies podcast. It is your host, Rachel, here. I'm so excited we are here in season two. And we had to start it off with a bang. So one of my first guests on this podcast for season two, I'm really excited to welcome Melanie Mills. Hi, Melanie. How are you?
Hello. Hello, Rachel. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very humbled and excited.
You're humbled. I'm humbled. Let me tell you, Melanie, you were one of the very first people I feel like that I met and remembered from the makeup show. We're actually recording this coming off of the New York City makeup show. But like, I remember going to the show, like, probably 4 years ago when I first started my career. And you were the first person that, like, actually connected with me, because it's not super often that you have the brand owners at booths and, like, talking to you. And you, like, grab my hand. You're like, let me show you this. So is this a real moment for me? Now I'm doing this, like, podcast interview with you. So I really appreciate you doing this with me.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love you. I love what you're doing. I think you're hilarious. And if you're obviously, people that are listening to this have been, know all about you, but those, you guys need to spread the love, because you're just too funny. I love it. I love your skits. Like, your skits crack me up. I mean, literally, I was showing Zarell at the booth the other day after we had met you. I was like, oh God, this is one of my favorites. And it's like, you do the red lip on the client and then you turn around and they're eating, like, you know, the freaking Lays.
I'm telling you though, like, the ones that are do the best are the ones that I make, because I just thought of something and then I just sit down and make it. It comes pretty naturally to me. And I think that's what's important about, like, when you're doing anything in, like, the public eye, is doing things that feel authentic and are fun. Emmy award-winning makeup artist, a brand owner, an author. Can you let us know, for the people that are being introduced to you for the very first time on this podcast, a little bit about you, who you are and what you do?
We were just talking about, I'm a celebrity professional makeup artist, Local 706, been a member for 22 years now. And was doing non-union work for 3 years before that. So been a makeup artist for 25 years. Started off in the non-union. We used to call it just like guerrilla filmmaking, because it was, you know, almost no money and very, very small productions, like anything that started with the word the. So I did like The Dentist 2, The Wishmaster, The Stepfather, The Nanny, you know, stuff like that. So for 3 years, I worked with AMPM Entertainment and other, like, kind of productions like that, where you would pump out these films in like 3 to 4 weeks, 6 day weeks, 70, 90 hour weeks, mostly nights. basically, I had no idea I wanted to become a makeup artist. I wanted to travel Europe. I got the travel bug early, you know, in my teens. And so I just wanted excuses to live in Europe. And I was very fascinated with language, and I can pick up language like that. And so my first trip to Italy, I was like, I was a princess here once. You know, I was part of the Medici family. I just felt it, you know, and I just started taking Italian and French and German and Spanish at Moorpark College in Moorpark, California. It's a community school. And in one of the language labs, there was a live and learn in Italy, you know, paper that you pulled the number off of, you know, this was back then. And I did it. And a girlfriend that I had traveled with before went with me, and we lived in Florence and went to school, went to the Università di Firenze, realized that like, I didn't want to be a translator. I just bopped around for 7 years, literally with all the friends I had made at that school. I'd come home waitress at Acapulco restaurant for 3 months, go back and just kind of couch surf. Well, on one of my last trips to Milan, I was visiting some Icelandic friends of mine, and one of them was taking a makeup course. So I went with her and her boyfriend to go make the down payment. And it happened to be like the finale of the school year. And it was in this gorgeous old cathedral, like old nunnery that they turned into a school. I was just like, okay, wait a minute. You can make money doing makeup. Like, this is crazy. Never thought about it. And then I was like, ooh, another reason to live in Italy. Another reason that, you know, my great grandma might help me financially live somewhere, you know, in the world. I come from a very Hollywood family. My great grandfather was a manager for like people like Tyrone Powell. And I can kind of go on and on with those names. He was a manager from when they went to the stage to the screen. He traveled the country with them. Many, many different talents. He worked at all the big theaters in Hollywood, like, you know, the Egyptian, the Pantages and stuff like that. My Nana used to work for Maurice Chevalier, who was like the famous ballet guy. And they met, my grandma and my great step grandfather got married. And then, you know, my grandmother married Joe Felix, who was a famous jazz musician who played with like Eartha Kitt and many other great jazz names. I have all these actors and just tons of, you know, Hollywood already just kind of in my family. When I came home to tell my Nana how excited I was, I put the down payment on the school. This is going to start in 2 months. She kind of was like, whoa, wait a minute. What happened to all this other direction we went in? And I don't think Hollywood is a woman's world. I don't think this is going to be great for you, because she's old school. She came from that and saw that, because it really was and still is in a lot of ways a man's world. And so I was shocked by that, because she was like my biggest supporter. Went and told my hairdresser about it later. And she was like, I didn't know you wanted to be a makeup artist. I'm like, neither did I. So she ended up introducing me to her roommate, who was local 706, who within the week got a call to intern on a film, which she referred me to. And this is the film that I did. And when I went down there, they were so desperate just for somebody to help, you know, to powder puff. You know, they asked me what my sign was. So being an Aquarian got me the gig. I ended up working on that film for free for 6 months. And then that hairdresser, Lori Baker, is the one who started to take me on to all those other films. So that's how I started. And then I went union. She ended up going to India with a bunch of films. So I ended up taking over. And then one of those films was called Lockdown. We shot in New Mexico with Master P. That is a whole story in itself, girl. I was already had all my days. I had in my 3 years to go union, but that film went union. So it made it easier. Then I had to climb the ladder again. Did a lot of episodic. She Spies, 6 Feet Under. I can kind of go on and on there. And then some sitcoms. And then I landed Dancing with the Stars. And so Dancing with the Stars was like the big diving board that sprung me into where I am now, as far as like being a showrunner, Emmy winner, Emmy nominated, 22 or 21 Emmy noms. Where I got inspired to create my brand, Melanie Mills Hollywood, and the original product, Gleam. You know, it was just a springboard for a lot of where I am today. So I know I totally rambled on. So I'll let you.
We love a good ramble. If you listen to this podcast, we love rambling. So I know you live in Nashville now. Like you said, you were like a Hollywood girl. You lived in Thousand Oaks?
I was born and raised in Thousand Oaks. My great grandma lived in Hermosa Beach. And then my grandma lived between Palm Springs and Hollywood. So that was my playground right there. And then the minute that I could, when I came back from Italy, I lived right on Beechwood, right under the Hollywood sign in the best apartment right there. Yeah. Born and raised LA girl. And my husband too, born and raised.
My grandma lives in Thousand Oaks, or she just moved to Texas, but like she lived in Thousand Oaks forever. My aunt lives in Simi Valley, so.
Oh, yeah.
All in the same area. So how does now Nashville compare to LA? I know when we were talking in the pre-interview, you were mentioning how you kind of are not doing the film and TV productions anymore. So how does it feel to be in Nashville, have a little bit of space? Because I feel like a lot of people are moving south, and that's why I'm in Georgia.
I took a break, let's just say. I'm not done. I don't, you know, I'm still a member. I'll probably join local, you know, 798, six, you know, the one year. Are you union yet? Are you?
No.
What is it? 798. Probably will join that one too, which covers this zone. But basically, yeah, 25 years doing makeup is a lot, guys. 70, 90 hour weeks, having a daughter and a family, going through the most insane divorce you could think of for years, creating a brand that we just celebrated 10 years on that I knew nothing about business, marketing, nothing, cosmetics when I got into this. And then with having the brand, then comes all the trade shows and traveling around the world and doing the desk sides. I was go, 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 go. People would be like, how do you do it? And I'm like, I just go. I did manage to slide in some family time, of course, but I have to say, I also missed a lot of my daughter's life. I am not the stay-at-home mom. I never would have been. I would have driven myself insane. I feel so bad for the moms that got stuck in COVID at home with like these kids, you know, trying to teach and all of that. Like, I would never have been that woman. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a go-getter. I just have this work ethic instilled that I just, you know, had to do. But when COVID hit, everybody's world, of course, kind of collapsed, especially in our industry. But I had gotten into a little bit of debt because I was about ready to close shop with Gleam in 2019. Things just weren't going the way they were going. I was just working too hard. It started to just go down a different path because of some choices and people that I had hired, you know, just things that just weren't working out. But then I had been working on new packaging for a long time, and I finally got the prototypes. I had already signed up for Cosmoprof Las Vegas, which is where you showcase to like all the big buyers. And so I was like, well, I already paid for it. I already have this prototype. We're just going to go and do it and see how it goes. Well, I got such great feedback from Sephora, Ulta, Nordstrom's, Macy's, QVC, QVC UK. And these were partners that I had been dancing around with trying to get in for years. And they loved my new packaging. I had hit it on the mark finally. It was what I finally wanted. I could just never afford it before. And so I had a lot of business in the Middle East at the time. And I got a pretty good little deal going on out there that gave me enough cash to kind of, I said, okay, I'm going to do this one last time because QVC booked me. Macy's was getting ready to take me on. And so I thought, okay, I can't let all these 9 years go to waste. This is the last bit. So, you know, with that deal I had, I still had to take a little bit of a loan to create all the new packaging, new SKUs. Mm-hmm. But plus I had to really invest in a lot of inventory for the success that we really thought was going to happen on QVC UK. I was booked for the whole year of 2020, set to launch April 2020.
Of course.
So, you know, as the luck of the draw would have it, I launched my new packaging in March 15th of 2020. And then I still was kind of forced to do the show via Skype, which we sold out after a couple of days. But people aren't wanting to buy makeup in April of 2020 anywhere, especially in London. And it's just not the right way to launch a new brand in Europe when via Skype.
Right.
So as successful as we wanted. So then when COVID happened and that all happened, it was like, wow, okay, I'm stuck with this debt. I'm also realizing that I don't want to grind anymore. I had feet problems, knee problems. I was like, I don't want to be, you know, I'm 47 right now. I realized I didn't want to be doing this until I'm 65 or 70, like a lot of my friends dragging this kid around and working these grueling hours. And besides the hours, it's very political, the film and TV business, and it's cutthroat, to be honest. And when you're in it, you go, 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 you grind, because you have to, because if you miss something, there's somebody right behind you that gets right in on there, you know? So it's like, you have to kind of keep up with the game. And when you take a break, you can get kind of a little bit forgotten, or at least that's the fear. And so when COVID hit me, it was like, this is crazy, like financially freaky right now. And then on top of it, like, I don't want to do this anymore. And where do I go? So I know this sounds so LA, but I'm very much into my crystals and meditation and rituals. I was doing a bowl bang, as my husband likes to call it. It's my singing bowls.
I love this. I have that. So fun. We love woo woo here. They're so fun.
They take it to the next level. I was in tears, literally, you know, like, what do I do? Angels, goddess, gypsy, ancestors, what do I do? We wanted to get out of LA for a while. We actually had even considered Vegas a couple of years back because at least I could like drive or fly into work very easily from there. We looked out there and I was like, no. And so it just hit me in a meditation, Nashville. We had never been to Nashville. And we flew out here, checked it out with a realtor and just thought, yeah, no, let's do it. I mean, it was a crazy jump. And it was definitely like, okay, well, I'm making the choice to like walk out of Hollywood. And it just hit me so hard. And I think why I was drawn here is because I can still do makeup here. There's an industry and the industry is really growing. Mm-hmm. Tons of musicians, tons of celebrities are moving here. You've got the whole music scene. Yep. It's beautiful. You have these four seasons. Housing is affordable. You don't have the state tax. You know, there's just all these pluses. We didn't know anybody here. No family, no nothing. My daughter, my husband and I, we just thought, let's sell this house while we can. We had great equity. We got it at the top dollar of LA, was able to pay off all that debt and then just kind of start fresh and really focus on Gleam. And so that's what we did. And we have been here for 6 months and we're very happy.
Yay. I was just in Nashville for a wedding. It's fun. I mean, a lot of people are just moving. Like, I mean, people moving out of LA, people are moving out of New York City. That's why I moved to Atlanta. I mean, there's a huge film industry here and Nashville is only 2.5 hours drive. It's super close. Biddies, you know and love my favorite game, Would You Rather? And guess what? I'm here today to announce a very special surprise for season two. I'm going to be discounting my amazing Would You Rather cards. Starting next week on the 6th, I'm going to be announcing a promo code that's going to be running through the 13th in celebration of season two for a special discount off of my Would You Rather cards. Guess what, guys? These are never going to be made again. I have 45 decks. They are limited edition with all of your favorite Would You Rather questions from season one, as well as more, as well as blank ones so that you can make ones to play with your friends. These are great for on set. These are great for your team meetings. These are great for just drinking and having fun with your biddies. I love them. They come in a really cute carrying case and I'm gonna be signing them. They are all hand numbered because these are only going to be made once. So once they are gone, they are never to be seen again. Make sure to pick them up now or stay tuned until next week when you get that special promo code. Check them out at lipstickbiddies.com and check out all of the rest of our merch in the store. So I want to go back to what you were saying about it being such a grind in the industry. Do you feel like when you were in the industry, we were talking about earlier, as of the time of recording this, we are waiting on the contract ratification vote for the IATSE union. Is that like part of the reason why you kind of got out because of the extreme working conditions?
Yeah. Ironically, you know, I wish this unity would have happened years ago because unfortunately, our unions haven't been strong, especially ours. And our contracts have just been getting whittled at. Every 3 years, we get something taken away. I don't think we've really gained anything. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just very aware of what has been taken away over all the years. Mm-hmm. We used to have less hours to get our pension and health. You know, we used to store more hours in the bank. We used to get paid more for the meal penalties. Health was the big thing that I noticed that got chipped away hard at. But yeah, no, you know, the thing is it's like nobody should feel that working a 17-hour day is normal. Nobody should feel like when they're sick, they have to go to work. Or if they don't, there's going to be someone that's going to slip the fuck in. I mean, excuse my language, shoot. Slip in.
We curse here, so it's okay.
Yeah. Slip in, you know, so it's like, I'll tell you, this is when it all started to really dwindle for me. I mean, yes, I piled on a lot of extra outside work on top of what the industry was giving me as well. But, you know, when you're having to, it was really hard to be in makeup room situations where I wasn't the boss. I was, you know, a player. And like, you know, I'm the only one in the room with a child and my child has her, you know, science fair and has this. And we're on a show that really, really, I could go and come back. I really could. we're on a show that really we could transition off. Not all of us need to sit there for 17 hours a day and watch paint dry. Right. We can literally like transition out and switch out. And so I feel that like, not only is it just the brutality of the business, it's transcended down or descended down through the ranks, and the bosses kind of keep up this mentality of brutality as well. And I'm not going to mention any names because I loved everybody that I've ever worked with. I think that it's just this horrible programming that has been put into everybody's mind that this is the way it is, and we're lucky to be here, and just this is how it is, and we just do it, and we're warriors, and we'll sleep when we die. You know, we're on such a special project. We should feel so, you know, lucky. And, you know, but like, you know, when I started to, then I ended up on a show where there is this, you know, on the hair side, the guy was like letting his team go for the graduation, for the death in the family, for the marriage, even just for other work, just, you know, really able to. And then I was feeling really like, wow, this is getting hard. One day I had to go euthanize my cat. I had already been putting it off just because of the hours, right? I couldn't let her go. But plus, like, I should have probably done it a little earlier. Finally, the vet calls me, says, Melanie, you got to come now, like now. You know, and I said to my boss, like, I got to go now. And it was kind of like, okay. So I go, I meet my daughter and my husband at the vet to do this deed, which, you know, she was 17 years old. She's a member of the family. And on my way there, I get a call. Well, are you going to come back or not to do this one actress's makeup? And I'm like, that I had to say, yes, I'll be back. And guess what? We do the deed. My daughter's crying. We're all crying. I got to go back to work, to go back to do one actress's makeup. Everybody else leave, and then me sit there till 1 a.m. with this actress. I could even have gone back, done the makeup, and left. Right. There's no reason why nobody else could have done the makeup. This is how crazy it's gotten, you know, or is, just has been. And that right there stuck with me. And then from that point on, I think I kind of gathered this bitter, and then the bitter started to kind of, you know, mount. And the thing about the strike that I've got to also bring up is I think they went about it a little wrong because they were in the negotiation. Most of us didn't even know, right? Years, we barely even know they're happening. Right. We usually just vote yes, whatever, you know. So all of a sudden it's like, okay, the producers are wanting to be jerks and stall on these particular topics. So then the unions, the 13 unions, create this campaign and got us so riled up. I mean, the way they went about it was wrong because they did not clearly let us know, like, right now we're just going off after these few tiny things. Instead, they made us feel like we were going after the big pie and we're all really getting into it together.
Right.
So we were all ready, man. We were ready. I have friends that, you know, work 70-hour weeks, wrapping out at 3 a.m. and then on their time had to wrap out their trailer. People, we wanted this strike to happen. I know so many people. I wanted the productions to scramble. I couldn't wait to see the live shows like SNL and Dancing with the Stars and The Voice, you know, Saturday morning or Sunday night go, holy shit, what do we do? You know what I mean? And then really come to the table. But of course, they made a deal. And when they came out with the details of the deal, which we still haven't even really seen the full contract, it's not what we wanted, really. But this is what we were going for. Okay, well, you didn't really tell us exactly. Yeah. And you got us so riled up. And when are we going to ever be this united again? We can't strike every 3 years. So it's going to be interesting because, yeah, we have to vote yes or no on this contract that I don't think most people have seen. I think at this stage, a lot of people are annoyed, exhausted. And then we have the shooting happen on the set of Rust right after this whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting business. When people want to join the union, and I do Zoom calls, by the way, I do these mentorship that you can book me on, and it can be on anything from how to get into the union, how to become a makeup artist, how to transition your path, how to build a brand, how to build your social media. And when people come to me wanting to know about the union, I really lay it out for them because it's a big choice you have to make. And for makeup artists, there's too many makeup artists as there are jobs. It's all very, very interesting. Will I never work on a set again? No, I'm not going to say that because, you know, for example, if I got offered like a sitcom, I live in Nashville, Patricia Heaton just moved out here. I happen to know her. We go on walks. They're working on a sitcom to hopefully shoot out here. If I get asked to do that, am I going to do that? Hell yes, because sitcoms are great. Sitcoms, you work like 10, maybe 12 hours. 2 days a week, 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. That's the kind of thing I'll do. And will I still do celebrities? Will I still do stuff like that out here? Absolutely. Yeah. But as far as that grind, I had to get out of it.
So when you did Dancing with the Stars, were you like, at what point in your career were you at? And how did you, like, I don't know what the conditions were at that point, but like, how did you kind of make the makeup department as the department head, like, a joyous thing? Because I feel like I watched like the behind the scenes of it and it seemed like fun.
We had a blast. I mean, see, a different format that's a live format. So with live television or when you're doing sitcoms with live audiences, it brings like this energy to the table. And you can't really force a live audience into shooting a scene over and over and over and over again. And then when you're live, you're live. And then when it's done. You know what I mean? So those hours were not grueling. I mean, we'd get there, I'd get there 6, 7 in the morning and we'd go live by 5 and be done pretty much 6, 6:37. You know what I mean? So that's not terrible. And the energy was exciting on that show and all the live shows I did. I kind of became queen of live shows for a minute there. It's just that energy that comes along with it. But in the beginning with Dancing, I mean, we really did have some amazing A-list celebrities on that show.
Yes.
And the cool thing about that show was we were coming out of a very bland makeup era. You know, 90s Friends, Spice Pencil, individual lashes were like, you know, and then no glow, no glitter, no shimmer, you know, to have been on the forefront of a show that as tacky as it is, okay, with its ballroom and its fluorescent.
But we love it.
Yeah. Makeup got put on such a platform and a spotlight. I mean, I was doing interviews like almost every day of the week. I was featured in so many amazing magazines as well as started to become a beauty expert on TV. And I became a brand ambassador for Saint-Tropez as well as Anastasia. I started to learn the ins and outs of developing while I was with Saint-Tropez. But I think that energy is what kept you going. And plus, we made the trailer feel like a party. We would bring in like appetizer trays. And this was a British production who after the show, there'd be a bar upstairs, which was so fun. Until one day somebody ruined it by getting too drunk. Not me, by the way, but we had that for years. And you used to have your guests and you used to go up after the show and hang out with like all the celebs. And it was so fun. So with that, it was like having some wine in the trailer towards the end before the live show was cool. So we made it like fun.
Yeah.
And then we all felt special because we were a part of like kind of this makeup revolution that was getting talked about. So totally different energy and vibe there. But if anybody needed to not be able to come into work one day or needed to leave early one day, now it's a little different circumstances because you are in a live situation and you do need all hands on deck. But I also made sure to push these cheap producers into making sure that we had the team that we needed. So I made sure people always go, how did you make them look so flawless? What did you do? And it's like, you know, really, it was like the amount of team we had.
I want to go back to what you were saying about like the change in the makeup aesthetic. And I've talked about this on the podcast before a little bit about like developing your signature style. It takes a lot of people like a long time, but like you can tell like, oh, that's Melanie Mills makeup, this like super glam, glowy, like just super feminine, like sun-kissed look. Was that something that you kind of brought to the table on Dancing with the Stars prior to that? Or did it kind of like morph? Like, where did you kind of find that style of makeup that you are so known for?
I mean, it definitely evolved. When I went to the interview to become the department head for that show, a huge part of getting that job was budgeting. Because like I mentioned, cheap mentality going on there in the beginning. So I had to really bring to the table how I was going to budget this show with everything I needed. So that was a big part, everybody, of those of you who go into meetings. It's not just about your artistry as department head. There's a whole business side to it. And that's what's going to really attract you to your line producers and your UPMs, which is the people that are in control of the money and the hiring and the firing and all that. So, you know, I went in there with like stacks on stacks of imagery of what I could see the show visually being. I wanted to take the ballroom look, which is a very extreme makeup look, which is white, white hair, black, black hair, red, red hair, so overly tanned, like just so overly tanned, and then just extreme makeup, you know? So, and the reason why the ballroom community did that back then, I don't know how it's evolved now because I don't really keep up with it anymore, but was because they would be couples in a sea of 100 people, 200-300 people, that they needed to stand out for their judges. So that's why the costumes and the makeup and the extreme of everything. So I wanted to take all that extreme and keep it still slightly true to the ballroom vibe and feel, but then like push in feminine, fun, youth, young, you know, more of like editorial feeling to it. So I brought the magazines, I researched the ballroom, and then I brought to the table as well as the business. But no, like when I started that job, was that was like what I was known for? No, I completely had to jump in and do it. I was there for the first 15 seasons, and you can see even how that's evolved. And you can even see, I think they're about ready to do 30 seasons, how that's even evolved. You know, in the beginning, man, I pushed for extreme. I wanted glitter and color and five pairs of lashes and glow and body. So no, that evolved, you know, and it was interesting being on that show because you're working with some like divas that are used to getting lit just themselves, you know, whereas now we're on this stage with like 30 cameras and all this overhead crazy hot lighting and all these different colors, and it's not directed just at them anymore. And like, for example, Jane Seymour. Oh no, I can't wear shimmer, or my other favorite, you know, oh no, you can't wear shimmer or do glow or do any of that, or big lashes. It's going to make me look old. It's like, no, let's just say it nicely. We are older. And anyway, so I really pushed for like extreme look and to really push it outside of the level that TV had seen before. Right. And then while I was on that show, I was so inspired to do like a Kevin Aucoin inspired makeup book. And when I was sitting there with Brandy Norwood one day, and I was like, God, I love your neck. I can't get over it. You remind me of like this Egyptian queen. I would love to do you as like Queen Nefertiti. And she's like, oh my God, Melanie, let's do it. Okay. Well, when somebody like that says, let's do it, you do it, because you can't go back like 2 minutes later and try to reach out to her people and try to like make it happen. And so I found a photographer who was in it to win it for this book. That's how that started. And that was a passion project that turned into my book that's now called Glitter and Glam.
I have the book. Yeah, highly recommend. Pick it up.
Yeah.
Lots of inspo. And so on the set of Dancing with the Stars was where Gleam was kind of born. So many makeup artists are like mixologists, and we're constantly like trying to make the perfect formula for our client or for our needs. So was it kind of like a mad scientist in the Dancing with the Stars trailer trying to get that glow 100%. Formula down?
100%. I mean, we were using a lot of already existing products, a lot of already existing body makeups and glows. But the problem was, is that especially when you're dealing with people that are like overly sunless tanning and using sunless tanners from all around the world, because these girls traveled everywhere, and the guys too did it too, by the way. I needed a body makeup that was hydrating, because when you overuse sunless tan, even when you use sunless tan, say once a week, it dehydrates your skin. And so when these girls were doing it, like they were sponge bathing in it, we were spraying. I mean, girl, it became like the bane of my existence. I remember like the first week and the first season, I was like, oh my God, this tanning is like so out of control. It's like streaky. So I needed a hydrating body makeup, like a lotion pretty much, but I needed the colors to really be able to work with like darker skin tones and overly tanned, like kind of that bronzy, and kind of offset it. I needed the product to be able to be worked up on the face. So it needed to be something that was, you know, still good for your skin that could go up onto the face. I needed it to be quick. I needed it to be easy. I wanted a particular look on camera. I wanted a particular sophisticated velvet glow versus like an ashy, glittery glow. So we used so many different products, but I just wasn't nailing it. And I was in a constant, you know, near argument with wardrobe and the producers, because, you know, you're dealing with these one of a kind outfits. The deal is that not only was the body makeup transferring, these girls wanted to also sponge tan on the day. Woo, talk about stress. I mean, really, the body makeup on that show is incredibly stressful. Yeah, so out of frustration, my very good friend to this day, Nadezh Schoenfeld, who actually used to be in the body makeup union when there was one, we used to have a section, I made her the head of the body makeup department. And between her and I, just out of frustration, just blending all these different products for about a year, from already existing products to just pigments, to glitters, to right. oils, to lotions. And when I finally came up with the one that the dancers, and at this time it was Katrina and Cheryl and Edita and Kim Johnson and Anna, all the original, you know, dancers, they were like, Melanie, you did it. We're gleaming, you know, that's how Gleam, the name was even born. They named it really. And so when dancers and celebrities started driving out to my house for little bits of it, and I live like outside of LA, my great grandmother had just passed and left me an inheritance. And I thought, I actually went to a couple different brands and asked them to do it for me and like kind of, you know, do a collaboration and put my name on it kind of thing. And it was Galit from Galactic Cosmetics who said, you know what, Melanie, I'll do it with you, but I think you can do it on your own. Here's the name of a lab that I trust. Go and see if this is something you can do. If not, come back and talk to me. And that's how it all started on my end. Mm-hmm. I was looking to do it the lazy way and just kind of work with an already existing cosmetic company and kind of slap my name on it. But I ended up taking this formula and then we worked on it for a year to put it where it is now. And we just celebrated 10 years, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Biddies, you've heard me so many times raving about how incredible my Patreon community is. And I want to tell you guys about it because it is the best way to support your girl, the HBIC, as we build this Lipstick Biddies community up worldwide. You all want to support me. I appreciate that. It is so much work to run this podcast. It is a one-woman show. We are just starting to up-level with new things like editors and all these crazy things that I'm finally getting to pay for because of the support of my patrons, and I cannot thank you enough. So the Patreon is amazing because you get to support me with a small monthly donation starting at $5 a month. Biddies, that is less than the price of a lipstick, and you get something in return as a thank you from me to you. You get monthly bonus episodes. You get a merch pack. You get a podcast shout out. You get monthly meetups. You get makeup classes. It is incredible. There are different tiers. Pick whichever one's right for you. It is the best way to support me and also connect with biddies around the world, both pro makeup artists and beauty enthusiasts, and also have a little bit more of an intimate experience with your girl. I love my patrons. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. It truly is the best way to help grow this community, and I appreciate all of you so much. Check the link in the show notes or just go to patreon.com/lipstickbiddies. Thanks, biddies, and see you in the Patreon.
What was more like surreal for you, that or getting like an Emmy, or were they like just in different ways?
I mean, winning an Emmy is the best feeling ever, to be there and be amongst your peers, to even get chosen against so many shows and be narrowed down to five. It's just such a cool feeling when you get into the Emmy thing and you get that Emmy bug. Then everything you kind of do starts to become about getting, maintaining, you know, constant Emmy nominations and future wins. It does become a little bit of a bug, I will admit. And once you do win, I won for the second time I was nominated. Once you do win, oh my God, does it suck when you don't? I mean, you're just like, it gives you like the nerves and you're just like, so, you know, but it's just such an honor. You know, with that being said, like, did my paycheck like skyrocket, you know, double or triple? No, like, you know, it's a great for your resume. It's great to have. Do I have people like searching me out because I'm an Emmy? No, you know what I mean? So it's so awesome to have, and it's such a great feeling. And I feel very blessed to have been nominated for 22 or 21. There was times where I was double nominated, triple nominated. I was nominated for being a part of the Oscar team, Nickelodeon shows, iCarly and Victorious, and then The Real, and as well as Dancing with the Stars. So, I mean, I love my girls. There they are right there. I mean, and then also Guild Award nominated and winning too. And that's like a SAG where you're being nominated by your peers. I would say that that's even more intense, actually.
Yeah. I remember watching you open your most recent Emmy Award on an Instagram Live. And I love how you are still humble. Like, you were like crying. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I feel like those are the people that I connect with that are like, even as established as you are with your career and how many awards you've won, things like that can still touch your heart. And that's really cool to see someone sharing the vulnerability with people.
I mean, it's a club. It's a magic club. And this particular time was extra special to me because we had been nominated for The Real in particular 6 years in a row. And Hair won it the year before me. And I felt, if you want to call it that, or not duped, but just slighted, because we had always turned in our Halloween episodes. And when I got nominated for that particular year, it was like, oh, and by the way, and this was the year of COVID 2020. It was in April, I get the news. Congratulations, you've been nominated again. But by the way, they took your Halloween episode out because it was considered effects. So we had to completely take that out of your reel, which was half of my reel. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Why wasn't I informed of that? Because there was not one thing effects at all. Not one thing effects. And this was just a breakdown with producer crap. And so I felt slighted that I didn't win that year when Hair and Wardrobe won. So to have won this last year when I knew I wasn't going to go back to the show, when I knew I left LA and might never be a part of a production like that again, that was extra special, extra special.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And, you know, like it seems like everything, like fresh start, kicking off your new home, your new space with like an award like that. I feel like it's like meant to be.
It was the bomb. And those tears were legit. And that video, I think, is still up on my Instagram. I have a couple Instagrams, by the way. I've got the Gleam _ Melanie Mills Hollywood, which is my branded account for the brand. And then I have Melanie Mills MUA, which is more personal, up in the stories, some scattered in the feed, but also just makeup by me. And then I've got Kitten's Kitchen _, which is now my husband's and I's account, where we eat and drink our way through life.
I love it. Oh, I have to follow that one now. Social media has changed, you know, the trajectory of so many brands. And I know that you all went viral on TikTok for your incredible setting spray. Was that like a huge boost for the company?
Yes, it was. Like I had said, I almost was going to walk away in 19 because things just, you know, to me just didn't seem they were panning the way I wanted them to go. I had an amazing heyday. I kind of got my bump up because of all the press from dancing and just being such a staple in pro makeup artist kits and just celebrities and makeup artists and, you know, using the product all the time. But then I also, with the Peach Deluxe shade back in 2016, did a collaboration with Sandra Deluxe, who's like a huge influencer. And so that really projectiled me. And so my brand was doing really well in the influencer world for a while there, all almost like gratis, just with people that like loved the product. And then things like shifted. I ended up, you know, doing a lot more business, like I said, with the Middle East and retail. So I kind of went away. Online was still there, but I got into a situation with a CFO, like a financial person, that just steered me in wrong directions. And, you know, so things got just tight financially and I couldn't afford the influencers because I got all that love for free for so long. Then it was, you know, time to pay, which I did here and there. Don't get me wrong. Like I've definitely paid my fair share for what I could afford. And so I feel like with the rebrand and then with what happened with, you know, 2020 and smaller brands, you know, really were hanging on. We're all still kind of hanging on, to be honest. So yeah, this going viral was like crazy amazing. It did kind of put me on the map again. What's crazy and amazing about this whole nutso world still with COVID is that, you know, I didn't know that Rose and Ben, who I've known for years, was going to do this video. And of course, any of these influencers, nobody ever knows if the video is going to go viral. You don't know.
Right.
You know?
And that was the one that went viral?
That was the one that went viral. Gotcha. And sold out in 2 days, which is awesome. But we sold out end of July. Okay. Well, because of the supply chains and because of the worldwide shortages and shipping problems, I couldn't even place my PO for 7 weeks. Wow. And so anyways, it's taking forever. However, the buzz is still there. Thank God.
Oh yeah.
And we just opened it up for pre-sale to ship in February or March. So by the time you guys hear this in January, hopefully there will still maybe be some stock. If there is, I highly suggest getting your pre-order on.
Yeah, I love how TikTok and social media has really changed the game, because your brand, I feel like, was more well-known with the pro community. And it was like very much like a in the know. Like I remember like introducing it to my friends. They're like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. And like my mom loves it. My mom loves Gleam. I love this setting spray. But, you know, the pro makeup artist gets so mad now when stuff goes viral. Like I talked about in our previous episode with the Clinique, the Black Honey. And now it's like the Melanie Mills setting spray. It's like, shit, now we don't have this to put in our kit. So it's like good thing for the brand, but it's like really annoying for pro makeup artists when something goes viral like that.
I mean, it's great for the brand, but then like just with the current times, like I'm having to wait almost 9 months before restocking it. So that's also hard on the brand because you're making decisions for ordering at the time of what's happening. And so I, of course, did triple the order than I normally would, which is an investment on my end. And it's like still a little scary because you're like, okay, I hope the buzz of the viral is still going to be there. You know what I mean? It's a very complicated world, but it is so important. And if you want to have a brand or even be your own brand as a makeup artist, we all know how important social media has become.
Yeah, like so many brands, like even like Tata Towels, which is a brand that I'm an affiliate with, they also like they've been around forever. And then it just took one video boom to go viral on TikTok. And this is after I started working with them, someone else's video, like another person that like went viral. And then they gained like, I want to say like 150,000 followers overnight on TikTok. Again, I don't know how they still have this stock, but I still have some in mine. I could still do mine. I could still do my videos.
We are allowing up to minimum 3 cans per purchase.
Okay.
And I, of course, set reserves aside for Macy's because we are on Macy's.com, by the way. And obviously, all my pro stores, I'm reserving, you know, enough product for them to be able to get it in because they've always been such great supporters of mine, too. So even if like my pre-order does sell out, which the minute I start getting to a halfway mark, I'm going to order again, obviously, but I just can't do it until I get to particular numbers. Right. But just know that your pro stores will have it too when it does come out February, March for a minute. So I'm trying my best, man. It is really hard as a small company to kind of forecast and feel it all out and make the right, you know, judgment calls. And after what I went through and, you know, in debt and selling my home and moving and all this, I'm so afraid to ever get in debt again. So it's like, I'm just so careful. But it is exciting and it is one of the damn best sprays. What's crazy is it's been around for like 5 or 6 years. And as you know, it's a kit staple because it works. It's awesome. And then that's bringing people in to see, because a lot of people had no idea what Melanie Mills, you know, Gleam Face and Body Radiance even was. So it's cool.
So we're talking about like, you know, you being a hustler and pushing through all these roadblocks and just kind of pushing ahead through the film industry. Has there been anybody specifically in your life that's kind of given you that motivation or inspiration to be like that? Or is that something that you've always kind of had in you?
Oh man, I've always had this drive. I would say my great grandma, my Nana, was the smartest person to me in my life and my biggest advocate. And, you know, she was so into women making it for themselves and the new era of women being able to do it without a man. And she saw such a future for me. And there was just nothing but love and constant support from her. And I remember in the very beginning, like, especially with dancing, she was a little too old by that stage. I think we might have gotten her to one show. But, you know, she has always been the drive. I come from a family of women, strong women. I mean, my mom is, you know, very smart woman, total hippy dippy. My grandma is another who's still in my life. She's 90. We call her Glamma. She's with a freaking 67-year-old right now. Okay. She's amazing and she's always been glam. So her and my aunts and, you know, my Nana was always just like the blue eyeshadow, pink lipstick, but still in eyebrows and her hair, still, you know, her out everything, you know, so they were always such a huge inspiration and motivation. To this day, I still do it for my Nana. I'm not going to cry, but like right now I have an altar set up in lieu from All Saints Day, Samhain. I always say that wrong because of the way it's spelled out. And then, of course, Day of the Dead is pretty much happening right now, too, which is all about our ancestors. And I have the most gorgeous altar with all of my past ancestors and friends and family. And she's always front and center. And she's in my dreams all the time. And I swear I still do things to this day for her. And then, of course, my daughter. You know, my daughter is now 18. You know, I see the drive there too. At the same rate, she wants nothing to do with makeup or the makeup world or that industry. She wants to be a psychologist as of now, but she wants to travel. Yes. She's going to school and she's working. She's got that drive that I know I helped to instill while kind of teaching her to not go too hard.
Yeah, it's always such a fine line. I mean, it's stuff that I go through and you biddies probably have like heard me go through because I've been pretty open and honest about it. And it's really cool that like you have such a strong group of females behind you.
I can't pass up my husband, though, who is
He was at the makeup show with you.
He's at all the makeup shows. Yep. He has been my rock. He's Mr. Positivity. When I get into my funks, because I can, you know, he's always like, love, love, love. That's like this mantra thing that we learn together that we kind of like joke about, but it's true. Like every time you start to have the negative thoughts or feel the pressure, come up with some word that means something like to you, like joy or happiness or love. And the minute you start to have those thoughts or feelings, just say it over and over again. Love, 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 love. So he'll remind me of that often. Love, 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 you know. And he's just the happiest guy in the world. And he's always just reminding me of what we have. And that's what's the most important is the present. And we can stress and worry, but it all works out. So yeah, he is my rock and he's at all the trade shows. So if you ever come to one, that's him.
He was so nice. Keep that man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So talking about what you were just saying about how like mentorship earlier, we're kind of like coming on the end of the hour, but I wanted to talk to you about just like briefly, I know you started doing mentorship like classes. So can you talk a little bit about that and like why you wanted to do that, like be a mentor for people?
Well, I have always had people either on set or just through DM or just artists that I've come across or people that I've had the opportunity to mentor. They're always coming to me with questions. What should I do? How do I do this? Anything from creating yourself as a brand, as a makeup artist. How do I do this on TikTok? How do I do this on Instagram, Facebook? Which ones are important? You know, how do I become a makeup artist? How do I advance myself? How do I build a brand? You know, all this stuff. And so my friend Robbie, who's a hairdresser at The Real, she'd be like, girl, you give this away. You got to charge for this. Your expertise. Like, this is like, you're so worth it. And I have to remind myself about that too, you know, that I do have a lot to offer. And so when COVID happened, I first started by doing these little lives, and I forget what I called them. It was near Ask a Pro. And I would bring on all my friends and we would do a shared live and just talk about how we were getting through COVID, how we got to where we were and our next steps. And a lot of people were like really appreciating that. And then people started reaching out like with more questions and more advice. And so I decided to start the mentorship program via Zoom because one, I'm sitting at home. I needed to do something. I started it off in the beginning at $55 an hour because it was such a hard time for everybody. And I just wanted to, you know, make it affordable and easy. They are $150 an hour now. And I usually give you homework. They usually turn into 3 or 4 sessions. So if you book in advance, the 3 or the 4, we do break that price down. And I'm about ready to launch all of that online in like a couple of weeks, all those details and pricing and what comes with it. But also while I was here in Nashville and just when I started back up, I had so many people asking about makeup classes. And so I have decided to open up the studio here for one-on-one makeup masterclasses. And this is going to be for the average gal at home that just wants to learn how to do their own makeup better, to beginners, and then to even just pros. And so the beginner pro classes are 2 days and they're here in my home studio. I provide the models, the lunch. I do have some kit options that are some add-ons that you can purchase. You can work off of my kit. We can bring your kit. We go through your kit. It's all going to be laid out. 2 weeks, it's going to go live on my site.
It'll all be live by the time this airs.
It'll be live by the time this airs. And it'll be one-on-one. I can handle 2 people at the most in the studio, but that will be it. And not only will you learn like my signature style, but there's another course where we actually get into the social media and we will actually be filming your model and giving you all the tips and the tricks, how to create Insta-worthy videos, photos, shots, and how to and when to post and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of a new, interesting thing that I don't think a lot of courses offer. And it's real hands-on and it's going to be awesome. So those are the 2 things, and that's out of my studio in Nashville.
Awesome.
And then, yes, I'm available for for hire, of course, to do your makeup. You can come to me here in Nashville. And of course, I will travel. And that's just the situation. Just email me at info@MelanieMillsHollywood.com and we'll get to all that pricing. So yeah, that's what's happening there. And I'm excited about it.
So cool. Like I said, we were kind of like running up on the end of our interview. But before we go, of course, I always ask my guests a would you rather question. I know you have the new deck of would you rather questions that I just launched, which will be going out now. Probably by the time you hear this, the pre-sale orders will be going out. But I always make a custom would you rather for every podcast guest that I have. Who knows? Maybe it'll be like an expansion deck for season two will be the ones. So I wanted to know, Melanie, would you rather go for a no-buy year with makeup and skincare or clothes and accessories?
So not buy makeup and skincare or not buy clothes. I would pass up on the clothes. I have plenty. I have plenty of clothes.
Awesome. Also, it's like some of the stuff that's out right now is fast fashion, but when you get yourself like the, you know, those classic pieces, you can wear those forever.
You know, let's face it, it's black most of the time. I'm heavier than usual. I'm struggling so hard on my fitness. Right now, even just in life, I kind of refuse to buy clothes until I like, you know, slim down a little bit.
Yeah, I got that. Well, you look beautiful. And if you're watching on the YouTube channel, if you're not watching on the YouTube channel, you have this like fabulous hat on. I love it.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So
hat, you didn't mention hat. That's something I'd buy.
The hat. Yeah, I love the hat. So, Melanie, I want to thank you again so much for being a guest on this podcast. I think that you're one of the like people, the trailblazers of this industry, and you are such a wealth of information. Everybody, make sure to check out Melanie, and the Gleam products are incredible. Can you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media? And also if you have any parting advice or words of wisdom before we sign off today?
Yes. So really quick, what I'm mostly known for, what it started off with, was my Gleam face and body radiances that come in 6 shades and 2 different sizes. Plus, I offer a kit and a sexy sampler, a little set if you're not sure what you're into. I also just launched my newly redesigned site at MelanieMillsHollywood.com. We're finalizing the pages. I mean, it's up, it's live, but it's not 100% yet. It's so close though, which I did launch a shade finder where you get a little quiz. And it really helps you to kind of see an end result and help you pick like a shade for those of you that are torn. For the makeup artists in the world, you want all the shades because you can mix them. They're so multi-purpose and so multicultural. The setting spray, of course, went viral, but I'm telling you guys, this really is like the legit spray that will lock your makeup in, face, body, even effects. And then also just, I do want to do a little shout out to my brushes. I just launched brushes and these are so pro. You guys, I did these in collaboration with Omnia Royal Langnickel. They are so seamless and affordable. My most expensive is this goat right here for $19.99. And I also have value bundle deals as well. So you can find all of that and my brush soap, which is amazing too, on MelanieMillsHollywood.com. And then if you go to Discover there, you'll see my blog, which I just started about 2 months ago, as well as how to book me, not only for makeup services, but also for those mentorship Zoom programs or for the in-studio Nashville masterclasses. And then, of course, you can find me at Gleam_Melanie Mills on Instagram, Melanie Mills MUA, Kitten's Kitchen _, and on TikTok. It is Melanie Mills Hollywood. And then also we have a Facebook group that's really fun and really growing. And you, Rachel, are going to be doing an Ask a Pro next week, which I'm excited about. And we have them every Tuesday and they live on the site for free. And that is on Facebook group at Beauty Secrets, Melanie Mills Hollywood Beauty Secrets. So check all that out, please.
And we'll put everything in the show notes as well to make it easy for people. So by the time you listen to this biddies, I will have done my Ask a Pro. So you can go into the Facebook group and do the rewatch. And we love community. So it's great that you're building another community for people to access. And that's why we love you. Do you have any like parting words of advice before we go?
Parting words of advice. Try not to stress and worry too hard because I truly feel that everything does work out. However, you cannot be lazy and just like sit back and expect everything to happen. As far as this makeup community goes, it's all about networking. It's about face forward, having a positive attitude. and just kind of being there for each other. So I think COVID was really good in a lot of ways because I think everybody was getting so selfish and so grindy and so go, 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 and so give me, give me, give me. I think everything did need to halt for us all to really realize like the real, real necessities of life is love and family and community. And so just keep positive, you know, learn as much as you can, constantly educate yourself and constantly network and just try not to worry, be happy. I know that sounds crazy, but it works. Meditate. It will change your world.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Rachel. You are the best. Thank you for all that are listening or watching this. And I just can't thank you enough. This was awesome.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Lipstick Bitties podcast. To receive a special surprise from the head bitty in charge in the mail, make sure to drop a review in the app and DM your screenshot to me at Lipstick Bitties. Remember, you are a badass fucking bitty. See you next week.